I'm going to begin today telling you about a trial in my life a few years ago. Some of you probably remember it. About 3 years ago, I found myself dealing with a new and unusual trial in my life. I had recently been noticing difficulty driving at night. I had difficulty looking into a beam of light, such as a traffic light or headlights. A visit to the eye doctor at that time revealed that I had cataracts. For a while, it didn't seem to make much difference. I adjusted to the problem. I adjusted to the difficulties of night driving. But I was aware that in the background, as time went on, this problem was developing and becoming more severe. The time came finally to make arrangements for surgery for lens replacement. There were complications in my medical history. Records had to be tracked down and found. In the meantime, these cataracts, this problem was getting rather severe. I was amazed at the end how quickly my eyesight deteriorated. Light was painful. Even the light reflected off of white paper or a printed page could wipe out my vision. Another visit to the doctor also revealed these cataracts had to come out and as soon as possible. At this point, I had to use a magnifying glass to read anything, even here in services. I couldn't drive. I began to wonder if it were not possible for me to lose my eyesight altogether. I began to think about how valuable eyesight is and how we take it for granted, how I had taken it for granted. I'd always had some vision difficulty throughout my life, but I assumed I would always be able to see and be able to function. As I thought about this and prayerfully asked for deliverance, I began to think about something else, about spiritual vision and how much more important that is. Even if one could not see physically, I discovered, having spiritual vision was still much more important. The title for today is Holding Fast Our Spiritual Vision. As time went on, I had the lens replacement surgery, as most of you know. In spite of the medical concerns, everything turned out perfectly due to God and His intervention. I remember going to my lunch with my wife for the first time after surgery and the exhilaration of being able to read a menu on my own and order my own meal. But the thoughts of the importance of spiritual vision did not leave me. What is spiritual vision after all? Why is it important? How do we keep from losing it? Those are the questions we're going to take a look at in this message. As one might guess, these scriptures have a lot to say about that subject. In a word, spiritual vision is the God-given ability to see what normally can't be seen. The ability to see things as God Himself sees them. This is only possible through revelation from God, through the working of His Holy Spirit and His Scriptures. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, not turning there, we find a good example of this. Here Samuel was sent to find a replacement king for King Saul, and he was sent to see the sons of Jesse. We all know this story and how it turns out. Let's take a little bit of a different look today. Beginning here in verse 7, we find this written. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." In a word, mortal man is impressed with the physical. Man is impressed with what he can take in with his five senses. It is interesting here that Samuel, a prophet of God, still saw things through very human eyes, as we all tend to do from time to time. At this point, God gave him a little pause to stop and see how God sees things. As God's people, we all have spiritual vision as given to us by God. We don't see this world anymore like everyone else does. We don't see these scriptures as everyone else does. This vision given to us is a dynamic thing, a lot like faith. If it's developed, it will become stronger. If it's neglected, it will diminish. So how do we hold fast this spiritual vision that God has given us? I have here about three short points for you to consider during this message. First, we should avoid those things that God hates: division, strife, turmoil, confusion, sin. God hates sin. That's something we need to remember. Two, we should be aware of and be performing those things that God loves. God loves unity, faithfulness, and loving service toward one another. God loves humility. God loves those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those that serve him in spirit and in truth. God loves justice and mercy. Isaiah 61 and verse 8. He loves the righteous. Psalm 146 and verse 8. He loves those who love him and obey his commandments. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9. And he loves those that pursue, that is, chase after godliness. Anyone here knows if you're after a godly life, you have to chase it down. It doesn't come, does it? No. And third, Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God should be our focus in life. If you would please turn to the book of Romans. Romans in chapter 10. And we find Paul here speaking of his concern for his people, Israel. You find a lot of that in the book of Romans. Paul was a man who had a big, big heart, and he poured it out for his people. This was a man that really loved his people. If you read these passages in Romans, there's no escaping that. We'll begin here in verse 3. For they, Israel, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Now this word here in that verse, end, for a lot of people is proof that Jesus Christ ended the law of God. Here it is right here. Christ is the end of the law. But if we dig a little deeper and find this Greek word used here, translated as end, is telos. T-E-L-O-S. Telos. It's the word from which we get telescope. Telos in the Greek means focal point, as in photography. You can never bring any picture or image into focus without a focal point. In a camera, this is called the focal plane, the point on which all light rays converge to capture an image. In the eyes, this task is performed in the retina, where the image is focused and captured to be delivered by nerve impulses to the brain. Without all these things working the way they're supposed to, none of us would see anything. Paul is telling us here that Jesus Christ is the centerpiece of the law, the focal point, the linchpin, the point on which everything else depends. Jesus Christ uses his spirit, his scriptures, and his spiritual law to bring the righteousness of God into sharp focus for us. Otherwise, as Paul says here, and he points out, we would have only our own righteousness. That's not going to get any man anywhere. It is at this point that God the Father and Jesus Christ perform a miracle. If we submit, they can take this image of righteousness and actually write it on our heart for eternity. True spiritual vision comes with transformation of the mind, as Paul describes in Romans 12 and verse 2. God reveals through Paul that there are only two states of human development, conformation or transformation, carnal or spiritual. The idea of transformation brings with it an implication of action and direction. One cannot progress spiritually without a goal in mind, a destination. Ours is the kingdom of God. If you would please turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll begin here in verse 13. This is the faith chapter. It's written here that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were assured of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. A follower of Jesus Christ is not comfortable in Satan's world. Continuing in 14. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly have they called to mind that country from which they'd come out? They would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. All of these people of faith had spiritual vision. Moses, the apostles. Paul had difficulty with his eyes, but his spiritual vision was strong. Galatians 6 and verse 11. The patriarch Israel was nearly blind, but his vision was strong. Genesis 48 and verse 10. Job was granted spiritual vision. Job in 42 and verse 5. If you would please now turn to Luke, book of Luke chapter 9. Jesus Christ was a very practical man. He delivered many a spiritual truth in plain and simple language. Here he makes a direct comparison between leading a godly life and plowing a straight furrow. Beginning here in verse 62. Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." What was he talking about here? Plowing, looking back. It's important to understand a little bit of something about plowing a furrow to begin with to really unlock this. I learned some of this from an old Amish farmer many years ago when I was a small boy. I was admiring his plowed field. And he told me, he said, this is how you do it. This is the key. You need a good animal. You need a good plow. But one of the keys is the first furrow that you set in. That one is the foundation for all the others after that. This is a lot like receiving God's truth, straight and true. It serves as a true guide throughout one's life. Next, while plowing, it is vital to keep one's focus on the horizon and keep it there. Likewise, as we plow through this world, we should keep our focus in life on Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, in spite of whatever happens in this world. As in Hebrews, we can't see it yet, but we know it's coming. We can see it if we hold fast to our spiritual vision. Too often it seems men try to live life by looking back instead of looking ahead. Paul told us to forget what's behind us and to concentrate what's ahead of us. Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. Brethren, we have to remember this. There is only one escape from this evil age, and that is moving forward into the kingdom of God, following Jesus Christ. Next, spiritual vision also involves being aware of what we cannot see. I remember an old man once sitting on a park bench told me that we as humans only have indirect vision. He said, if you change the light, the appearance of everything changes. If you remove all the light, for instance, in here, if you removed all the light, we could not see anything. But this lectern would still be here. This microphone would still be here. You would still be here. What's that prove? There's a whole world that we can't see. We must remain aware that although we can't actually see it, there are forces at work right now which are bent on the destruction of this entire world. Spiritual wickedness in high places. These are the forces at work night and day to bring this world to destruction, to bring you and I to destruction. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. That's one reason we're told by Jesus Christ to stay alert and watch. We started today talking about cataracts and eye surgery. My vision is much better. The doctor said there would be some degradation here and there. I need reading glasses, but that's just fine. I don't care. But God used this trial to show me the importance of another kind of vision, much more important than the physical. The kind of vision that is eternal. Today we find ourselves living in a place where spiritual vision is needed now more than ever. We live in a society that seems to be disintegrating more and more each day. It's getting worse. Each day we are bombarded with evil and wickedness and violence unprecedented. Jesus Christ told us it would be like the times of Noah. The earth would be filled with violence. And we have leadership that apparently has no answers. But that's going to change. We have the vision of God, kept bright by His Holy Spirit. We know these things come and will have an end. As we go forward, our hands on the plow, our focus on the kingdom of God, let us be found a people increasing in faith, in zeal and service to God, a people who hold fast the vision of God.